it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
I seem to be saying this a lot lately, but that was an insane weekend of sport. Don't know what's going on. Everything's compressed at the moment and, well, it's full on. Limerick put in one of the more awesome displays we're ever likely to see in the game of hurling. Eddie Brennan is with us 7:30. We'll also hear from Tommy Welch later on in the show. On the football front, it was a slow start, admittedly, to the football championship. We are now bubbling away nicely. We have Tyrone Monaghan in the Ulster final. We have Dublin Kildare in Leinster. Enda McGinley and Johnny Doyle are on the way. Down in South Africa, meanwhile, the shadow boxing is over. Thank God, says everyone. Lions' first test upon us this Saturday. Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor on Monday Night Rugby. 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. This show will not cover the half of it, not to mention one of the great opening 60 seconds to a Grand Prix, or the emergence of a genuine golfing superstar in Colin Morikawa, who won his first major last year. We talked about him on the show at the USPGA. That was his USPGA debut. And now, still just 24 years of age, he has won his second major, the Open, and you guessed it, on his Open debut, which is pretty awesome. He held off a couple of no-hopers by the name of Ram Oosthuizen and Jordan Spieth to win yesterday. So Colin Morikawa, age 24, he'll be very competitive for about the next 20 years. So name your number. I'm not sure how many majors this guy's going to win, but a genuine superstar in the world of golf has pretty much rubber stamped his authority. Richie McCormack, hello to you.
Hey, Joe.
Adrian Barry, hello.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Richie.
So another feast of sport, Adrian. What caught you? What grabbed you? Where are you this Monday evening?
Yeah, where do you begin? I think Limerick, Dublin and Seamus Power, I think, were the three things that jumped out at me.
I didn't even mention Seamus Power.
Jesus, Joe.
Incredible.
You have a golf podcast. You remember that thing?
Yeah. Jeez. Congrats, Seamus Power. 34 years of age. He has taken the long and winding road and he won for the first time on the PGA Tour last night in a playoff. It went the distance, to say the least. And for him now, that changes his life. Two-year exemption and everything that goes with it. So big congrats to Waterford's Seamus Power. Sorry, Adrian.
No, look, that was it. And wow, it was an incredible story, wasn't it? Like, I mean, that, if you were pushed to it, that might be the story of the weekend. In so many ways, just the unlikeliness of it and the drama, obviously, at the end of it. And Shane Lowry, I see, nudging himself into, like, the Ryder Cup sort of selection thing is in itself worth a 3-hour show at the minute. But that's tipping along nicely. I maybe Limerick, Joe, I don't know, that'd certainly be up there. I think that when you looked at if you tied in with the Dublin conversation, you looked at both games at half time where Limerick were 10 points down and everybody was thinking, ah, right, well, this is what you do with Limerick, this is how to beat them. Liam Sheedy's sussed it. This is what you do. You close them down space and all that sort of stuff. And then Dublin were, what was it, 11 points up at halftime? And you're thinking, oh, look at all these retirements are not going to have any impact on these lads whatsoever. And then 35 minutes later in both of them, it was an absolutely sort of about face. Mm-hmm. And you'd be frightened, wouldn't you, if you were any of the, like, who are the, even the contenders for Limerick, looking at them like that? They really are a throwback to Kilkenny in their prime in a way. Yeah. That you think you've killed them off, and they're one thing is for sure, like, it's no matter who you are at what stage of a game at this stage, you just they're never beaten, and that's a powerful mindset. And it must be very concerning, you would think, for all the other contenders.
Well, so many times of late when I've discussed Limerick on a Monday with their various pundits, or when we've previewed games, we have said of Limerick that they have a higher ceiling than everybody else. And so often they haven't hit that ceiling. Whereas on Sunday after half time, they hit that ceiling. And John Kiely, who's not always effusive in his praise of his own team, as most GAA managers tend to be, he said the third quarter is the best the team has played in his 5 years. And even Liam Sheedy came out and said they annihilated us. He just said they're true champions, they completely annihilated us. And further to your point about, like, thinking, oh, you're going well against them, or maybe you have them beaten, I even thought the way Liam Sheedy was clapping his players off the pitch at the end of the first half, there was like a manic quality to it, but like it was a worried quality as well. It was, I can't quite believe how well this is going, but I know something bad's about to happen. And even then he seemed to be hanging on by his fingernails, and they were like 10 points up. The Kyle Hayes goal, Richie, is one of the great goals.
Disgraceful.
One of the great goals.
Like it just encapsulated everything that was great about that Limerick performance in the second half. Because, like you mentioned, that the Liam Sheedy praising his players at halftime, you can probably read too much into these things. But like a lot of he was getting a lot of praise for his passion and all that kind of stuff at halftime yesterday. But in a way, given the fact that he had a 10-point lead, there were a couple of sus results behind Limerick in the league so far this year, that you would have been forgiven for thinking that Sheedy was almost congratulating his players for their first half performance, and that, yeah, he wanted to see more of the same in the second half. But you don't necessarily do that at halftime. You don't necessarily do it on the sideline in full view of everybody. You do it kind of in a way from prying eyes, and you actually privately say that there is more that you want to see from your side in the second half, as well as Tip did actually play, and that shouldn't be forgotten in that first half. But Limerick's second half, encapsulated by that Kyle Hayes goal, was just insane. The speed of thought and that thing that you have when you're an elite sportsman, when you're at your very top of your game, whereby time goes by a little slower and you seem to have those couple more split seconds in which to make decisions and for things to go right, that was just amazing. You have to say that they were helped a little bit as well by that foul on Kyle Barrett that could well have been a red card. It's 50-50. I mean, I've heard enough people say that it should have been a red. I've heard enough say that it probably was the right call by the referee in the day. But that's the kind of thing that Liam Sheedy will look at and say, listen, this is our opportunity. We have a qualifier to come still, and we know that we can still be a force in this championship. But there's a lot to suggest that Limerick are going to take some shifting from the top of that perch. Yeah.
Like when I mentioned Sheedy clapping the players off at halftime, I still think he was nervous. Like, I thought he was very, very edgy for a team and a manager that were 10 points to the good. I thought he looked like
somebody they were cruising,
who knew that something bad was coming around the corner. And then Dublin. So you mentioned Dublin, Adrian. This is interesting. They'll play Kildare in the Leinster final. 6-point win against Meath. When Conor Callaghan scored their second goal to go 2-7 to 4 points up, 9-point lead, and it was a glorious goal off his quote-unquote weaker foot. I think we'll just have to say left foot, I think. His equally wonderful left foot. They looked as ruthless as ever. They looked like maybe a bit of a chip in their shoulder. And then in the second half, outscored 1-7 to 5 points on the back of the very sloppy performance against Wexford. I think this is starting now to give us all a certain degree of hope, outside of Dublin fans, obviously, that we may be in for something a bit different this year. Or are we reading way too much into this? Is this a team who knew the game was done and it was done and just took their foot off the pedal? Bit unlike them, admittedly, but let's not get paranoid here.
No, I would subscribe to the former. I think it's totally unlike them. I don't think that they would have done that deliberately, like that they would sort of, they had such control over the game that they had Meath on like a yo-yo that they could just control sort of whether they were coming and going. They obviously killed the game off at the end in classic Dublin fashion, but they would never have wanted to be within a score coming down the stretch. You would think on the evidence that's there now, and I'm conscious of the danger of saying crazy stuff like this, but you'd have to say that it certainly looks like in the evidence that's there, they're coming back to the pack. Have they reached the pack yet? Probably not. I mean, when you look at the calibre of player that's come out, the number of All-Irelands that's come out over the last 12 or 18 months, O'Sullivan, Cluxton, Mannion, McCauley, Paddy Andrews, McCaffrey not there, Connolly gone. It's so much quality and it's so much leadership, and you'd have to say they come back to the pack. Kildare, Joe. What are you thinking?
I think we win by 5.
Conservative?
Kildare.
Yeah.
Kildare are going to win by 5.
I think Kildare beat Dublin by 5. Don't make me repeat myself.
Right. having said everything I said, I was listening to the Westmeath Kildare game on the radio yesterday, and I needed reminding, but Westmeath is definitely the team that I get most passionate and regularly sort of irate about.
I thought it was eating your cheese board watching Leinster that really got you going. So it's Westmeath.
No, I do enjoy that. I definitely do enjoy it. There's no getting away from it. But I was like a briar in the car yesterday listening to that game, and 10 wides in the second half. Westmeath, I don't mind saying it, they are a better team than Kildare. Any of those, I know if fans and buts and all that sort of stuff, but they play that game again next weekend. Westmeath beat Kildare at the Gap, and that's the reason. I'm not saying that to be disparaging towards Kildare, although I do appreciate that that's the way it comes off. But it's that for that reason that I don't think Dublin will have a huge issue. I'd like to see nearly Meath have another rattle at them this weekend. Look, the point about Limerick, Joe, right, that all the other teams are looking at them going, bloody hell, it doesn't matter what happens here. These guys have us beaten no matter how far down the stretch we are and how far ahead we are. I think that the other teams, Mayo, Kerry, Tyrone, Monaghan, are looking at that Dublin performance and getting a lot of encouragement out of it.
No, I agree. There's no doubt the squad isn't as strong. What they have off the bench isn't as strong. It's a point Enda McGinley's going to make later on when he makes the argument Kerry will win the All-Ireland this year. Johnny Doyle with us as well on the football. That's at 9 o'clock. No football show for the time being. We're in the off-season, but we're still here until 10 o'clock this evening. Loads of good stuff coming your way. Rich, we should start the news round. It's brought to you by Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. I suspect you were at the Aviva, were you, for the Bows game last week? That's why you're off? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was off on Thursday. Yeah, it was fantastic. Like, just to be back at a game in a venue of that stature in front of the team that you love and all that kind of stuff was, it was special. It was really special. And to get to do it again, to get to repeat it all again next week, because Bohemians are returning to the Aviva next week for the second leg of their Conference League qualifier with Dudlaunch. 6,000 were on hand last week as Bows beats Jarnan 3-0 to advance in the competition. Keith Longside travelled to Luxembourg this week, and capacity details for the home leg will be confirmed tomorrow, although it's been reported that the capacity could increase from 6,000 to 12,000 for that second leg. Should Bows beat Dudlaunch, they'll play Pauk of Greece in the third qualifying round. Dundalk know the Vitesse Arnhem await should they get past Livadia Tallinn over the next week or two, while Shamrock Rovers receive a bye in the second qualifying round, and they'll play the winners of Teuta of Albania or Interclub de Scaldes of Andorra in the third qualifying round.
Very good. As Adrian alluded to, Shane Lowry, very good week for him. He's not relying on a pick.
Yeah, he's tied for 12th place at the Open, has moved him into automatic qualifying places for the European Ryder Cup team. The Offaly man moved above France's even Victor Perez into the fifth and final automatic spot allocated via the World Points List. Padraig Harrington's 12-man European team for Whistling Straits will include the top four from the European Points List and the top five from the World Points List. Harrington also has three captain's picks, and Larry is widely expected to be one if he does not qualify automatically. Larry saw possession of the claret jug go to Colin Morikawa yesterday. The American carded a final round 66 to finish two shots clear of Jordan Spieth. Morikawa was asked what the secret was to his coolness under pressure over the weekend at Royal St. George's.
The secret? I never do this, but I had a burger for four straight days, so my body's probably feeling it. I know my body's feeling it. I think I just enjoy these moments, and I talk about it so much that we love what we do, and you have to embrace it. You know, you have to be excited about these opportunities, and that's how I looked at it today, especially coming down the stretch, was I'm excited. And to have the claret jug right here in my possession for a year, I believe, I'm excited to have it.
The Golf Weekly Review Pod is up. It was recorded last night, fresh after Morikawa's win, so that is waiting for you. Get over to Patreon or have a look on the otbsports.com website and look for Golf Weekly and you'll find it. This kid's awesome. This kid is scary. 24 years of age. Won the USPGA on his debut at that tournament, and here on his Open debut has won the Open. And as I said at the top, left Spieth, Rahm, Oosthuizen and a bunch of others in his wake. Precision iron play like you wouldn't believe. He has very quickly cemented himself as the best iron player in the world, and he's not short off the tee by any means, but he's again pure precision as a ball striker. There were question marks over his putting, and he's changed his grip on a couple of occasions, and he is liable to miss a couple of short ones that make you kind of squeeze your sphincter a touch and feel very uncomfortable, but there wasn't a hint of that yesterday in particular, and some outrageous up and downs as well. Brilliant short game. He's 24 now. He'll be competitive for the next 20 years. He's on two majors. I know, Adrian, one of the questions doing the rounds in golfing circles last night was, with Rory on four majors and Morikawa on two, who ends up at the end of their careers with the most majors? And the hot money at the moment is very much in Morikawa. He is serious.
One of the comments was Paul McGinley was making the point afterwards. I can't quite remember actually who it was, but they were saying that, like, you know, when the fame comes on and the success comes on and the money comes on, it seemed to me that they were directly referencing McIlroy, like what sort of an impact that has on him. Because at the minute, for all the reasons you said, and you know way more about it, that you would think that there's nothing to stop him. When the tournament was going on yesterday, and you know that the champion golfer of the year, it just struck me yesterday what a pompous title it is. And he managed to butcher it in his post-win acceptance speech. What did he call it? The champ. I'm delighted to be named the championship golfer of the year, whatever it was. Yeah. I thought it was a fitting.
The Royal and Ancient Blazers spitting up their soup as they watched up the road. I'm sure. Yeah. So his speech, I wasn't sure about his speech. It was either very, very good or a little bit odd.
I would go with the latter, John.
I think it may have been. It was like some fridge magnet wisdom about gratitude. But then again, it was heartfelt. I can't make up my mind. It's probably been, we're cynical old men here. That's what we are. But yeah, I guess it's easy for the 24-year-old with two majors to tell us all to be thankful. So he's in an awesome spot. Going to be really interesting to watch where he goes now. And then we mentioned Seamus Power. So first ever PGA Tour win.
Yeah, the Waterford golfer beat JT Poston on the sixth playoff hole to win the Barbasol Championship in Kentucky after both players finished up on 21 under par. The 34-year-old picked up a check for $630,000 and a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour. The win moves Power up to 113th in the world rankings and up to 69th place in the FedEx Cup standings. It also secures him a spot at the PGA Championship, the Tournament of Champions and the Players' Championship. And Power says it changes lots of things for him.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'll probably have to take a few days to kind of, you know, figure out some goals. I mean, you know, whatever, probably 2 months ago, I mean, just to get into the playoffs, it would have been absolutely over the moon. I mean, I've had a good run of golf, and, you know, but the win is obviously the two-year exemption. I think someone said, I mean, the players and PGA Championship and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's everything's going to change, at least for the immediate future. So, again, I haven't really let any of that sink in yet. It's just kind of still hitting me that, you know, I'm holding this trophy. So they're all kind of good things I'll have to deal with here soon.
So the big thing for someone in Power's position now is the two-year exemption. It means he can't be kicked off the tour. Obviously, players can get a bad run of form and they'll be fighting for their card, as it said, and then playing good golf becomes very difficult and very stressful. So now he doesn't have to worry about points. He can completely pick and choose his schedule, as opposed to feeling, oh, I got to play this week and the next week and I got to get points and I got to keep going. And suddenly you can get into just a really tough cycle. So his life has just become so much easier, and he has so many more choices, and he won't have to play with the burden of save your card, Seamus, get enough money in the bank to save your card for next year. So good luck to him. It's brilliant. We'll talk to him on the show, I'm sure, at some stage over the next while. Hurling, Rich?
Yeah, both of this week's round two All-Ireland Senior Hurling qualifiers will be played on Saturday coming. Galway will face Waterford at Semple Stadium. That has a 2 p.m. throw-in, while the LIT Gaelic Grounds host the meeting of Clare and Cork from 4:30 the same afternoon. Limerick and Wild claimed their third Munster Senior Hurling title in a row yesterday, courtesy of a remarkable second half performance. Trailing by 10 points at the break, John Kiley's side ran out 229 to 321 victors at Porky Queeve. And tip boss Liam Sheedy feels some unforced errors cost his side dearly.
Yeah, you know, it's just that, you know, when you're going so well and you know, we were so well on top in that first half, you know, it was hard to make a change. But looking back at it now, maybe we could have, the guys have put in such a humongous effort to get us to that station, maybe we could have made a few changes a bit quicker. So that's certainly I look back on and see. But overall, you know, I think we have, you know, we can still have a big say in this championship. We still have a really, really strong panel. You know, we go back training Tuesday night and we get a 2 week, you know, I suppose, chance now to prepare for the All-Ireland series, and that's a new series. If we play like we did in that first half, I think we'll have a chance to get any opposition. If we play like we did in the second half, we'll be out of the championship. So it's that simple.
There we are, that's Liam Sheedy. We're 20 minutes in, Adrian. We haven't even mentioned Davy Fitz in form on Saturday. What did you make of all that?
I listened to the interview, came through on our email. We had obviously reporters down there, and it came through, and I made a point to listen to it because I could see the quotes coming through on Twitter, so I wanted to listen to it and try and get the context. And like, was it this sort of happened? He'd analysed the game and talked it out, and a pointed question came up, and he had no option but to respond to it. But it was really none of those things. He brought it up himself. It was the vast majority of the interview he gave after the game. I just thought, will you, this is for another day. Why are you doing this today? I just thought immediately after the game, on the side of the pitch, analyse the match, give your of course you're going to be desperately disappointed losing to your native county, and obviously all the side stories that have gone on around it. But I just thought there was another time for it. Wait another 2 or 3 weeks, sit down, get your grievances out, get your thoughts formulated around it, get your head around it and get your thoughts out. But I just thought it was strange timing. And I also thought he was talking a lot about Clare as we, obviously in the context of the topics he was talking about. And I even just thought, as the Wexford players in the dressing room afterwards listened to him talking about Clare as we after that game, I just thought it was slightly inappropriate. And I just thought he'd have done himself an awful lot more favours by out of the heat of battle. But of course, here we are. What are we talking about after the game?
Yeah, the Brian Lowen stuff was odd as well. The way he was saying, like, if people want to organise a get together, then I'll be there. As if like you don't have Lowen's number or couldn't get it, or he's not just 50 yards away from you. I mean, nobody's going to book Farmley House for like some kind of summit. You know, it's just.
But what was the point of that?
I don't understand how Lowen and Davies. Feud, whatever word you want to use. I don't really understand how that's holding back Clare Hurling. Maybe I'm missing
that.
I didn't get how that was the issue. But anyway.
And Lowen, when he was asked about it afterwards, because obviously this all come up, gave a three-word answer, end of topic, and on to the next question. I just think, like, if you're hell-bent on it not being an issue, then don't spend 90% of your interview after the game talking about it.
Yeah. Will on YouTube, a lot of lesser known names who would have pushed others in training have also gone from Dublin. Eric Lowndes, Darren Daly, etc. Yeah, it's a great point. It's very true. Like, Daly's gone, by all accounts, brilliant. I was going to say professional, but you take the point. And Eric Lowndes goes with his 7 All-Irelands during the week. And you think last year, the All-Ireland final, they bring off Mannion and Howard off the bench. So they're just not in a place where they can do that now, Dublin. So you can only lose so many, I suppose. Fionn C on YouTube, the pressure is suffocating on McIlroy to win a major. Yeah, I don't know. The Rory conversation is a bigger one than the few minutes we have here, but he's into year 8 now without a major, and he was just nowhere near this week, like nowhere near. Brian says, I can remember Joe waxing lyrical about speed a few years ago. Now it's Morikawa. Seems there's a small window for majors for all these golfers. So many good players coming through. Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Now, Spieth is back and Spieth is going to win more majors for sure. For sure. But there is no doubt that the depth of talent is scary. Yeah, so
that's something that Power mentioned actually in his post-match, right. Essentially at the Barbasol yesterday. He said the depth of talent at the moment is incredible. And he can see, he cited Morikawa actually in particular. You can see that the field has broadened in terms of the amount of people that can win majors and that can win majors with, you know, semi-regularity. So I don't think it's necessarily a case of we're going to have one person dominating. In a lot of ways, it's almost like women's tennis at the minute. We're not going to have one person dominating the sport. We're going to have a bubble of maybe about a dozen who can pick and choose and dot between majors and pick them up here and there. But we're not going to see people heading to 15, 16, 17 anytime soon.
No. I mean, we grew up in the Tiger era.
Yeah.
We can't look to that for guidance. That was so freakish. It's hard to even, I think, fully compute. So we're not going to have that again. But yeah, Morikawa is nuts. And Spieth, I mean, how Spieth does it, I'm not really sure. He is Seabiscuit. Somebody texted that in a while back. That's the best way of putting it. I don't quite know how he does it, but he does it, even though he's not as long and is prone to some crazy misses. He somehow finds a way. Like, he didn't hit a green for the first 6 holes yesterday. And I said, if you're hoping for a Spieth miracle here, ain't going to happen, we can safely say. And then he promptly eagles the 7th, and away he goes, 6 under through the next 8 holes. So Spieth is still box office and amazing and will win more majors. Benji Gallagher, Meath were brilliant in the second half. 19-year-old Costello, Hickey, Hogan, 20-year-old Morris, all fantastic. Yes, I mean, look, it's good. Leinster football needs it, don't they? Leinster football desperately needs Meath to come good, Kildare to come good. I'd say Westmeath, Adrian, but you know yourself.
Petty.
Sorry, Joe, that just entirely, my internet just went.
It's all right. You just missed a needless jab at Meath, or Westmeath, excuse me.
I caught the bit where you were talking about Jordan Morris and the good Meath players, and then it just went wobbly.
I was just saying how Leinster need the likes of Kildare and Meath to come good, and I was about to add Westmeath to the list, but then you got to be realistic too, you know?
Whatever. It is a good point about Meath. They are a good coming team. Some of those names are incredible players. But like, it wouldn't have happened yesterday with the old Dublin, would be my point.
With Hamilton so far behind in the Drivers' Championship and realistically needing Verstappen to not place in at least one remaining race, should Verstappen not have been wary of a move like that on Hamilton's home turf? Or am I being too cynical, says Joe and Dundalk?
Somebody watched Senna recently.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, if you haven't seen the clip on Twitter, those 67 seconds are just incredible. And the commentary team are so good. So good as well. I mean, just bring the whole thing alive. I think it was Brundle who lets you know
Brundle's
early on.
There,
he's like, this isn't over. Hamilton's got the slipstream. And it's just phenomenal. So by all accounts, Verstappen is just relentlessly aggressive. So he's not going to back away from a gunfight no matter what.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not going to back down, and he will... through sheer dint of his own stubbornness, kind of almost find himself in trouble. But there is enough, you know, sway to say that Hamilton was out of order in what he did yesterday, but has dragged himself back into contention, as the texter mentions, in the Drivers' Championship. He's only 8 points behind now after all that went down yesterday, because he did need Verstappen to not place, and lo and behold, that's what happened.
Yeah, a lot of people onto us saying, can you cover some Formula 1 a bit more? So we're going to do that tomorrow with Rebecca Clancy from The Times. So that is on the way tomorrow. There's just too much sport this weekend to cover. Rich, do you want to give us a last story?
Yeah, the Ulster football final has been moved to Croke Park. The meeting of Monaghan and Tyrone will take place on July 31st, with the 4 p.m. throw-in. The move by Ulster GAA is to maximise attendance for the final. In the same press release, Ulster GAA have also agreed to Monaghan's request to push back their under-20 football final with Down. It follows the tragic death of Monaghan captain Brendan Og Duffy on Friday night. The game will now take place at the Athletic Grounds, also on Friday, July 30th.
Very good. Yeah, condolences to all concerned. Absolutely horrific situation. I can't imagine what the family are going through. So, thoughts and prayers sent. Adrian Barry, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Richie McCormick, appreciate it. Cheers.
Nice one.
We're going to be talking to Eddie Brennan about the hurling in just a moment. But first, opportunity to enter our competition.
It's the competition giving you life-changing cash. The 30K giveaway on News Talk.
So I'm sure you all heard about the 20,000 euro prize on offer on News Talk last week. This time we are upping the stakes. 30,000 euro. Yes, 30,000 could be yours this Friday. All you have to do to be in with a chance of winning is answer this question. Where is the All-Ireland final usually held? Is it A, Croke Park, or B, Semple Stadium? Text the word play followed by A or B to 57599. Entries cost €2.50. You must be 18 or over to enter, and you're playing across the Go Loud network. You'll find full terms and conditions on newstalk.com. Get your entry into that number 57599 by 3 o'clock Friday, and we could be calling you to give you 30k this Friday. We've got Monday Night Rugby after 8 o'clock with Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor. Eddie Brennan on the hurling is next.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
It's really about who can sort of minimise the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.